Welcome to Passion Church. For more information about Passion Church, please visit us online at www.passionchurch.tv. Now let's join the service already in progress.
We talked last week about the fact that Jesus hijacks a ceremony that all the Jewish families were doing at the same time. It's the Feast of Passover, and it became a ceremony that we often do countless times through the year. Many of us, on more than one occasion each year, we take communion. In fact, some churches do it every month. Some churches do it every week. It has become part of the landscape, if you will, of the church as we know it. And Scripture says that communion is reserved for believers, but how many of you know even unbelievers take communion? They probably shouldn't, because according to Scripture, it actually, I don't have time to get all this, could make them sick, but still, we just believe that this is something believers do to remember what Jesus did. But we've missed the fact that what happens on that night before Jesus is betrayed, when he takes the cup, when he takes the bread, that part that we call communion, it was a part of a bigger ceremony called the Passover. And during the Passover, the Jewish families, even to this day, they still do this. They would take five different cups, and they would drink those cups as a part of this ceremony, part of this feast, to remind them of the covenants that God had made to them. The covenant that Jesus makes is actually during the third cup. And so we want to go back and we want to look at the cups. Not all five, because the fifth cup is called the cup of God's wrath. And we can't handle God's wrath. And so Jesus drank that cup for us so we don't have to. Anybody happy about that? All right, just want to make sure. So what I want us to do is I want us to go back, because these cups point back to the covenant that God made to his people as they were in bondage in Egypt. And so he makes these covenants with them, these promises with them, before he releases them out of bondage. So let's go back and look at them. We're going to look at the second cup today. I'm going to mention all four so that you can kind of have context. Exodus chapter 6, beginning in verse 2. Although the cups are found, the covenants are found in verses 5 and 7, 5 through 7. We're going to look a little earlier so you get context. Exodus chapter 6, beginning of verse 2. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by the name the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Now here they come. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out. So they would read that, they would remember that statement right there, I will bring you out, and they would drink the first cup. We talked about the first cup last week. I'll mention it again in a second. He says, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. Then they would take the second cup. I will free you from being slaves to them. Then they would drink the third cup. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And then the fourth cup. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And so they would take these four cups and these four statements, and they would remember what God had promised them. And so last week we dealt with cup number one. Everybody remember what cup number one was? the cup of salvation, right? God says to them, I will bring you out. And so we believe that Jesus is still in the saving business, amen? That's the most important thing we do. We don't want people just to hear the message. We don't even want people just to be healed. We want people to be harvested and come into the kingdom of God, right? We believe that Jesus still saves souls. Anybody agree with me on that? All right, so that's cup number one. Cup number two is when he says, I will free you. So it is the cup of deliverance. I want to take you into an account found in the New Testament that perfectly illustrates the necessity and the benefit of drinking from this second cup. It also shows us a truth that we need to grasp this morning, and that is this. A lot of folks have an encounter with Jesus and drink from cup number one, but they never drink from cup number two. And so I want to show you this because this first cup, in this account that I'm going to read to you, it shows us that the first cup is available, but it also shows us that there's a second cup available that we need to access. So let's read it together, Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go shew yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 lepers or 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto this one leper, unto him, he said, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Whole. There are other encounters in the New Testament where Jesus used these same exact words. In one instance with the woman with the issue of blood, he looks at her and he says, your faith has made you whole. He deals with a beggar and he makes the same exact statement. Your faith has made you whole. The word that Jesus is using in this statement is important because it's the Greek word sozo. It's the word that we translate saved. The only problem is that it's our concept of saved, what we think of when we say saved, is not what Jesus is necessarily talking about right here. Jesus is using this word to articulate this statement that you can be rescued and you can be delivered. That's what the word actually means, rescued and delivered. It can refer to being rescued from spiritual death, but in the passages that I just read you or mentioned to you, it also reflects this understanding that there's a contrast between being healed and being whole. That's what Jesus is trying to articulate. Are y'all here this morning? Okay, we cannot miss this, because I'm glad you're saved and everything. I'm glad you're going where you're going when you die. But have you drunk from the second cup? See, we seem to have settled for saved and healed, and we've forgotten that we can also be whole. So I simply wonder this morning, how many of us have been saved? Our eternal destination has been fixed. We've established that when we die, we're going to heaven, and we've encountered Jesus. And just like the 9 lepers that didn't come back, here's the truth about us. We're better off than we were because we've met Jesus. Because we've drunk from the first cup, we're better off than we were. We would testify and say, here's how we used to testify. A long time ago, we'd give people the microphone. Now we're scared of everybody, so we don't let anybody have the microphone because we never know what they're going to say. They'll get up and pray for people on days of our lives and stuff like that. I'm so old, I remember all that. But we would take the microphone and say, I was on my way to hell, and then Jesus saved me. That's how we would testify, right? That's cup one. That's 9 leper status. That's the encounter that the other 9 had. My question is not whether you're saved, My question is whether, unlike the tenth, my question is maybe we've yet to be made whole, to be delivered. So what happens is this, is we're saved, but we're still scared. And we're saved, but we're still scarred. And we're saved, but we're still addicted. And we're saved, but we're still bound. We're saved, but we're still angry. We're saved, but we're still filled with lust. We're saved, but we're still mad. We're saved, but we're still depressed. We're saved, but we're still disillusioned. We're saved, and all this stuff is added on. We know where we're going when we die. But my question is have you drunk from the second cup? Our soul's been saved. But we have not allowed Jesus to go one more step and deliver us from what is keeping us bound. Paul addresses this on multiple occasions in Romans. You ought to take time to read Romans. It's kind of, for those of you that are like grammar police, you're not going to like it much because he uses no punctuation. He's got the longest sentences, run-on sentences in the history of the world. It's just like one big, long, flowing statement. But if you dig deep enough, what you discover is that Paul recognized what we're dealing with here. And so in Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through 25, he addresses this ongoing need for rescue. Listen if you can hear what he's saying. See if this doesn't describe us. Those of us that are saved, see if this doesn't describe what we deal with on a daily basis. He says, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Anybody? Okay, I thought so. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner. Wait a minute. If I'm a prisoner, then I must need to be delivered. He says, making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Anybody ever feel like that? I know you glow in the dark, but there are days I feel like a wretched man. And he says this. He says, who will rescue, deliver? Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if that wasn't enough, he continues in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 through 2. He says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. They've drunk from the first cup. And because you belong to him, because you've drunk the first cup, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. That means there's a second cup. Okay, you're still not with me. So Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, he continues. He says this, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. There's this ongoing, day in, day out process where we allow Jesus to do more than just save us and put us on the road to heaven. We allow him to go deeper into us and deliver us from the stuff that's keeping us bound. That's why we recognize that Jesus is a rescuer. That means that he delivers us as we submit to an ongoing process of removing our old way of life and our old way of living and our old way of thinking. That's why Paul goes on in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, and he says this, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. So in other words, Jesus didn't come just to save you. He came to deliver you so that you could experience life. And here we go. I've been saying this over and over again. So that you can experience life and life more abundantly. So here's the dilemma. If you drink from the first cup, you're experiencing life. You won't ever die. You'll die. Your natural body will die, but you will live with Jesus forever in heaven, right? But he said we could have life and life more abundantly. It doesn't get any better than heaven. So he must be talking about this life. And so my question to you this morning is simply this: how can you experience life more abundantly if you're living life bound? The question is what is keeping you from being whole? Whatever the answer to that question is, all I did this morning is stop by to remind you that Jesus has the ability and the power and the authority and the desire to bring you out of that and to deliver you from that. So the cups point back to Israel when they were in slavery to Egypt, right? So God is promising them that after he brings them out, listen now, see the progression here. He says to them in cup one, I will bring you out, right? Are you with me? That's promise number one. Promise number two was, I will free you. Hang on just a minute. If I am a slave and I'm in bondage and you bring me out, aren't I already free? Well, just a minute now. You're going to bring me out of bondage as a slave. But now you come right behind it and say, I'm going to free you. Okay, so let me point you back. Because remember, the harder task for the children of Israel was not being released by Pharaoh. It was being free men, but still acting like and thinking like slaves. In fact, I did a little research and I discovered this. I was just kind of interested. God, how hard was it for you to bring the people out, to bring them out? Cup number one, to bring them out of Egypt. So I started doing some research and I discovered that most theologians and commentaries believe that when God began to send the plagues, remember, we talked about the plagues, all the crazy stuff like the grasshoppers, the frogs, the boils, the hailstones, the death of the first child, blood to water, all darkness, all that stuff. Remember all that? When he started from day one until the last day of the last plague, most commentaries say that it was somewhere between 3 months and 1 year. So God brought the children of Israel out of slavery that they had been living under for 400 years. It only took him, at the maximum, 1 year to pull it off. Okay, are you with me? But then it took him 40 years to free and deliver people who were still living and thinking like slaves. Because it was harder for God to get the Egypt out of the people than it was to get the people out of Egypt. And I wonder for us, can I tell you before I wonder about us, can I just tell you that if you continue to read your Bible, what you discover is that everybody, the entire generation that was brought out, never made it to the promised land. Because they couldn't make the transition from being freed to being delivered. They had to die in the wilderness. And I wonder how many of us, maybe it was 30 years ago, maybe for some of you it was 50 years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago, maybe it was 3 weeks ago, at some point, maybe it was 30 minutes ago during our praise and worship, where you come to Jesus and you have this soul-saving encounter with him and you drink from the cup of salvation. But then for the next 30 years, for the next 40 years, for the next 50 years, you're brought out, but you're never free. Still struggling with the same stuff you struggled with before you got saved. Don't act like we're any different. I know way too many believers, saved folks, that are addicted to drugs, that are addicted to alcohol, that are addicted to pornography, that are addicted to lust, that are addicted to gossip, that are addicted to hate, are addicted to whatever it is. We're still as bound as we were before we got saved. Now we're just on the path to heaven. Because we've never drunk from the second cup. How many of us have been saved but never experienced deliverance? How many of us become a new man but we're still bound by our old man? What a terrible an unnecessary way to live. Jesus, listen, I know Jesus, we said it last week. The number one thing is we want to make sure people are harvested on their way to heaven. But listen, I don't want us to stop there because Jesus didn't stop there. He provided a second cup. I want you to notice that these two cups are entirely distinctive. They're different. I think if we're not careful, we try to mix the two. They're distinctive. The first cup cannot be mixed with the second cup. We are only saved by grace. We can do nothing on our own to be saved. Anybody in the room good enough to be saved? Because not even close. I'm never going to pull that off by myself. That requires Jesus and Jesus alone. And so, we are saved by grace, lest any man should boast. However, we also need to remember that Jesus provides a second cup and we can be delivered. In fact, did you know that Jesus' name in Hebrew means to deliver or rescue? It's right there in his name. So Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13, listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. I'm trying to show you the distinction between the two cups. Listen to what he says. He says, work hard. Wait a minute. I'm saved by grace and grace alone. But listen to what he says. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. I hope you are thinking. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire, and here it is, and the power to do what pleases him. So in other words, what we're being told is that there is absolutely no work involved in salvation. You will never work your way to salvation. But once you are saved, once you've drunk from the first cup, there is a participation that you must take part in. You must now begin to work and strive and do your best to show the results of that salvation. So we are saved by grace alone, first cup. Our spirit is saved at the moment we submit to Christ as Savior, but then we are to work hard to show the results of that salvation. In other words, we get saved and then we work ourselves crazy, showing that salvation has taken root in our heart and we get free from stuff that we weren't free from before. Some of us sitting around waiting on Jesus to fix all our mess. Okay. We do this by going to the second cup and we allow Jesus to deliver us our body and our mind, and then we work to stay delivered. Kills me. I don't understand why as believers we come and drink the first cup recognizing that it's by grace alone, and then we will go right back into the same environment we were in before and wonder why we struggle with what we were struggling with before. We never work to show the results of our salvation. We don't cut off any friends that pull us in the wrong direction. We don't quit going to the places we used to go. We don't quit drinking what we used to drink. We don't quit watching what we used to watch. We don't quit listening to what we used to listen to. Then we go, well, I'm saved, but I can't get free. Duh. Work. 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 Drink from the second cup. Let Jesus go deeper. We let Jesus give us new desires. And then here's the crux of the matter. And then we have to work at following those desires. He says that he gives us new desires. When you drink the first cup, you suddenly have new desires. But then he says, then you have the power inside. You have to make choices. So today I'm asking you to move from just being saved to being whole, from just being on your way to heaven to now living a life that is delivered. That's what I'm at. I'm so thankful that at some moment in the past you raised your hand or prayed or whatever you did and said, Jesus, become the Lord and the Savior of my life. But now I'm asking you to let Jesus complete that good work that he started in you and partner with him and work with him and find yourselves freed. There's a problem here. This cup is more difficult because we must be willing to release things that we have become comfortable being captured by. Well, I enjoy that. Yeah, but it's got you bound. I enjoy going out and spending money I don't have, but it's got you bound. I enjoy eating sugar. Who doesn't? I'm a sugar freak, but it kills me. But I like to watch. I get it. But it's destroying your heart, and it's destroying your spirit, and it's destroying your marriage. You're saved, but are you delivered? Why stop with salvation alone? Let's ask God to deliver us. Let's experience true freedom. Let's allow him to break our mindsets. Let's allow Jesus to begin working on our thought patterns, our habits, our tendencies, our areas of bondages, where the enemy still works in our life and he keeps us constricted. We're not experiencing life and life more abundantly. We're just experiencing life. Let's give him complete and unfettered access to every area of our mind and our life and discover that his grace saved us and his power can set us free so that when we sing, I hear you call and I'm available. We're actually available. How many of us sing songs like that? I hear your call and I'm available, but then when he wants to call us and use us, he can't because we're so bound. Scripture says, and I wonder if we've even experienced this, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. How many of us quote that? And the only freedom we've experienced is the freedom that now we're on the road to heaven. But in this life, we're so bound that we don't even know what freedom looks like. In fact, truth be told, if we're not careful, we call bondage freedom because we're better than we were. Before I met Jesus, and now I'm better than I was. And so we call that freedom. But is it really freedom? Are you following me? Like before I met Jesus, the first thing that comes to mind. Before I was saved, I was a thief. Not really. I just picked it out of the blue, okay? But let's just say I was a thief. So I drink from the first cup. But unless I drink from the second cup, now I'm better than I was, but now I just cheat on my taxes. Because I'm trying to stick it to the man. You see what I'm saying? We would say we're free, but are we really free? You say, well, nobody in here is like that. Okay, let me get in your mess. Before you were saved, you were a raving alcoholic. But now that you've got saved and you haven't drunk from the second cup, you're better than you were. You used to wake up drunk all the time. Now, I just go on a binge every once in a while, every 6 months. Just, you know, it's just the way I am. The way you are is bound. Okay, some of y'all, you're afraid I'm going to call you out. What is yours? Because we all got them. Stuff that keeps us bound, that we enjoy, that we're comfortable with, but it's keeping us captured. And I'm just challenging you, just from God's word. I just want to challenge you. I'm glad you're saved and all. I'm glad you're going to be my neighbor in heaven. But I sure would like for you to be free right now. Because how many more people could you encourage to get on the road to heaven if they encountered somebody that was different than they are, other than just their eternal destiny. Ooh, my word. If you could offer people freedom in this life, maybe they would want the freedom you found in the next life. Would you stand with me this morning? Pastor Andrew already gave a call for First Cup Salvation. The question should not be at this moment in this service whether or not you know Jesus. Unless you just didn't respond, or maybe you didn't feel like you needed to do that, then I'm going to make the assumption that everybody in this room has drunk from the first cup. Jesus is your Savior. You are going to bust heaven wide open when you die. But there's a second cup. And how many of us standing in this room would be honest enough to say, you know what? He brought me out, but I'm not free. There are still things in my life that I wished I could stop, that I want to stop. There are desires in my heart, and I know I got to partner with him, but I need to access the power of that second cup in my life. Would you bow your head for just a moment? Let's just give you your own privacy. Nobody looking around, not even the prayer team in this moment. If you're here this morning, you say, Steve, that's me. I need Jesus to deliver me. I need him to set me free. I'm saved, but I need him to set me free. Would you just put your hand up and you can pull it right back down? Yeah, everywhere. That's what I thought. My hand's up too. That's what I thought. Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we're so thankful this morning for the salvation that comes by grace alone. We recognize this morning that we could never be saved in our own ability, our own strength, our own power. There's no way. There is no way. It took the sacrifice that you made on the cross, Jesus. And we are eternally grateful. We're grateful this morning that you saved us. You brought us out. I'm thankful. But Father, you also saw every hand that went up this morning, including mine. There are things in our lives that we don't like, that we recognize we're in that same struggle, that same fight that Paul was in, where I want to do right, but then evil shows up and I do wrong. And I feel like a wretched man. And so, Father, this morning I'm asking you to help us. We recognize that according to your word, we just remind you of your own word. Your word says that you would give us new desires. Your word says that you would give us new desires. But your word also says that you will give us the power to follow after those desires. And so, Father, I'm asking you right now that we would take a deep drink of the delivering power of Jesus in this moment. And we would do our part. We would partner with you. We would work hard. We would change habits. We would change tendencies. We would change desires. We would change practices. We would change whatever we become comfortable being captured by. We would lay it down. We would make the choice, the hard choice, to be free. To be free. And God, I know that there are some folks in this room and watching over the internet right now that have probably prayed like this before. And in the back of their mind, they've come to this conclusion. It's always going to be like this. And I've tried to stop before and I couldn't. I've tried to give this up before and I couldn't. And Father, I declare this morning that that is the lie from the pit of hell. And I ask you in the name of Jesus right now to wipe that thought out of our minds. And I pray that instead we would recognize that according to your word, it says that you have all authority and all power, all dominion. And so we recognize that you can give us the strength and the ability and the power to pull this off. pray you would do this right now in Jesus' name. I pray that out of this room, people would leave this room today. People would log off of this live stream today. And they would leave not only saved, but free. But free. God, I recognize that we have to partner in this. And so I pray that you'd help us in this moment right now. In this moment right now. I want you to do this morning. Would you just reach out and lay your hand on the person next to you, unless they're wearing red. Would you just lay your red beads? Would you just lay your hands on them right now? The word says that we are to carry one another's burdens. And what has them bound is a burden. And some of the folks you may be next to right now may literally be in the place where they don't even have the faith necessary, the strength necessary to pray for their own freedom. What they're bound to has them so bound that they don't think there's any way out. And they just need somebody to pray for them right now. And would you do that right now, right there where you're standing? Father, we pray for our brothers and our sisters right now. And if they lack faith, I loan them my faith right now. I connect my faith with their situation, what they're going through right now, what they're facing right now, what they're battling right now. And Father, I pray that in this moment, even if they can't believe, I believe for them. And I pray that you would recognize my faith for them and you would step in and you would break the chains right now. Let chains fall off in Jesus' name. Let addictions be broken right now. Let thought patterns be changed right now in the name of Jesus. Let habits that have controlled us for years be shattered out of our lives right now, chased out of our lives. Let everything that would keep us bound, everything that would keep us bound, everything that would keep us from experiencing life and life more abundantly be chased out of our life right now. Free us, free them in the name of Jesus. I carry the burden for my brother and my sister right now. Free them in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And then when we're set free, we come back and we worship at your feet, Jesus. As someone who's been made whole. Someone who's been made whole.
And when I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up.
Thank you for your freedom for a moment.
And all I did was worship.
Like one leper.
And all I did was bow down. And all I did was stay still. And all I did, sing it again. And all I did was praise. And all I did was worship at your feet. And all I did was bow down. And all I did was, come on one more time. All I did was praise. Yeah, all I did was praise. All I did was, all I did was stay still. And all I did.
Says that we should work to show the results of our salvation. My prayer is that what has been hard work,
yes.
What has been difficult,
yes.
What has at times seemed absolutely impossible,
yes.
To lay down,
yes.
And to stop. And to quit. I pray that although you still require our participation, I pray that the level of work required,
yes.
Would be much less, simply because we recognize that there's a promise that we have in Jesus, that He is our rescuer,
yes.
And He is our deliverer. And we would stand firm over the course of this week when we work at being delivered. I pray that Jesus, you would come alongside of us and you would give us the power necessary to pull this off. Not for our glory, for your glory alone, and so that other people will see us not just saved folks, but free folks. They would recognize that there's a difference between their life and our life, not just in the life eternal, but in this life right now, that we are experiencing life and life more abundantly, and it will be so attractive to them and so desirable to them that they will begin to ask us questions that relate to the first cup. How do I get saved? And we would be able to step in and lead them to salvation, but then we would also lead them to the next step, to complete and total freedom and deliverance from everything that has bound them for so many years. And we would walk together in freedom. And we would delight in seeing our brothers and our sisters not just saved, but freed. And Father, we'll give you the glory and the honor and the praise because it all belongs to you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.
It's It's been a privilege to have you join us for this time of ministry. To find more Passion Church resources or to make a donation online, visit www.passionchurch.tv. Remember, you can't live without passion.